Welcome, and thank you for listening to our newest series, Stonebridge Soundbites. The day of this recording is June 17th, 2020. Oftentimes, we're asked by clients and partners, how does Stonebridge determine what to buy, hold, or sell? At Stonebridge, we take a team-based approach to research and analysis, and our equity portfolio managers meet several times throughout the week to discuss their findings. Today, we're lucky enough to have Steve Roida sharing details about the equity research process. Steve, I'll pass it over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Steve Roida, Stonebridge Capital Advisors. My role here is as a director of research and portfolio manager, and I have about 40 years of experience broadly across the investment business working for investment advisories, hedge funds, and large global mutual funds, in particular T. Rowe Price. I was asked to discuss today how we as a team and we as individuals, myself, go about our research process at Stonebridge Capital in terms of analyzing companies and picking stocks that we think will be attractive for U.S. clients over short, intermediate, and longer term periods of time. And the first thing I would say is, as background, is I got started in this business when I was in my 20s, and at that time I was very interested in horse racing, coming from the state of Kentucky. And I think you can analyze companies the way you would analyze a horse and a jockey and a race. And what do I mean by that is, when you're analyzing businesses, you typically think of the CEO, you typically think of the company, and you typically think of the company's track record of success, as culture wins in the long term. And if you think about that for horse racing, you have a jockey and you have a horse and you have a race. And if you pay attention to horse racing, you can really follow the track record of that jockey. You can follow the track record of that horse, and you can follow its speed ratings, and you can follow its record of success in stakes races. And over time, if the odds are in your favor for that horse based on that jockey and that horse, you can be pretty successful as a horse bettor. And I think the same thing applies to when you're doing analysis and investing in companies, because if what you really want to do is invest in managements and CEOs that have a track record of success, you want to bet on companies that have a culture of success and companies that can do that over extended periods of time. So the way we look at it is we want to buy companies that have number one or number two share positions in growing major segments of the economy. And we want to own those companies that have very large moats around their businesses, meaning they have really strong competitive dynamics against their competitors, whether that be in products, R&D, market shares, whether they can compete globally. And if we can find those number one or number two share position companies that are growing in those segments with management teams that already have a track record of success, then we have a pretty good idea that we're going to have success investing in those companies over the long term. Within those companies, we're also looking for companies that have stable to improving margins and returns on capital. Return on capital being so important because that gives companies the ability to reinvest back in their business, both from an R&D perspective and both into a product innovation point of view. And over time, companies that have higher returns on capital get rewarded in the stock market better than companies that have lower returns on invested capital. The other thing we're looking for in companies is stable to improving revenue trends. And you see that across successful businesses over long-term periods of time if they can maintain or grow their top lines. As far as the balance sheets of companies, we want companies with good balance sheets with solid free cash flow characteristics that basically provide reinvestment opportunities. If companies don't have good balance sheets, then they can't reinvest in their business. If they have too much debt on their balance sheets, too much of their cash flow is going back to the bondholders and not to the equity holders, and gives them less opportunity to reinvest back in their businesses. We would like companies that have track records of success in paying dividends over time, but dividends are not necessarily that important, as you would imagine if you're investing in a very rapidly growing consumer business or a very rapidly growing technology or healthcare company, because it is more prudent for those companies to invest their capital back in their businesses than to pay a dividend. Because if I can invest in a technology company or healthcare company that's earning very high returns on capital and then can reinvest that back in their business, I would much rather have them do that than pay me a dividend as a shareholder. Lastly, as we think about businesses we're going to invest in, the last consideration would probably be, what's the valuation of the stock? And we look at that in a lot of different ways. We look at how the stock is trading on a price earnings basis compared to its peers. We're looking at how the stock trades versus the broader market. Is it trading at a higher valuation than the broader market? And lastly, how is the stock trading unto itself? In the recent 3 or 5 year period, is the PE of the stock below where it's traded over the last 3 to 5 years? Is it above where it's trading? It gives us some sense of how investors are valuing the company at the present time, and we can look at that and determine whether we think the stock is trading appropriately versus its peers or against the market or to itself, or there is a real opportunity because it's trading below its relative valuation over the most recent period. I think lastly, the thing you need to understand when you're looking at companies is to understand the cyclical and cycle elements of the company's business. If you're covering an automobile company or if you're covering a airline, there's a lot of cyclical elements to that company and that business. You need to understand those elements as it plays into when you want to buy those stocks, early in the cycle, late in the cycle. So that would be the last consideration we would take in terms of looking at companies and businesses. As a team, we do a lot of attribution analysis across the S&P 500 and the Russell 2000, meaning we do a lot of statistical and analytical screens looking at revenues, margins, returns on capital, dividend payout ratios, debt to total capital, interest coverage ratios, short interest being how many shares of an individual company stock are being sold short. So we're looking at a lot of attribution data on a daily basis to help us not only follow our companies, but screen for those stocks and candidates for future investment opportunities. We break those down, of course, across industries and segments, and so that each of us have different responsibilities within the team. But collectively, we come together and as a team make decisions as to whether we want to recommend this stock or that stock across the S&P 500 or the Russell 2000. Part of this business is science, and part of this business is art in terms of picking stocks. I can teach and have been taught all the science parts of the equation that I have just previously run over with you all on this call. It's easy to look at which companies are sort of doing the best within their segments, which management teams are performing the best, which companies have a better track record of success. You can screen for those candidates. The part that it's the hard part is the art of the business. And what do I mean by art of the business? That is looking at the market at a present point in time and seeing what stocks are working and why they are working. Why are certain segments of the market performing better than others? Why are healthcare stocks doing better than technology stocks right now? Why are staple stocks doing better than consumer stocks? Why are utilities right now doing better than technology stocks? All those different variables drive the market on an intraday basis over longer term periods of time. And it's the art of the market in understanding why the market's doing what it's doing, why certain stocks are acting better than others, why certain segments are acting better than others. That takes time and basically experience rather than analytical approach, if you will, that can help you as a stock picker or analyst determine why you want to do what you want to do in terms of building your portfolio and actually activating that portfolio for determining what types of stocks you would like to own in what segments of the market. As an example for that right now, if you looked at consumer discretionary sector or the technology sector of the markets, there are many disruptors in those markets right now, and there are many disrupted business models right now. So if you think about Amazon as how much that is disrupting the whole retail trade, and then you think of how many retail businesses are being disrupted by Amazon's business model right now, that is a very important determinant for us in terms of how we want to invest capital across those segments, whether it's consumer discretionary or technology. Same thing in the technology space. You have this migration to 5G in terms of mobile. You have this migration to the cloud from mainframe computers, and you have those companies that are the disruptors, and you have those business models that are being disrupted. You have to understand those variables if you're going to invest capital both across consumer discretionary and the technology industries right now. Same thing would apply for individual sectors of the market. If we were just going to break down consumer discretionary and technology and just look at those as individual business segments. Within them, likewise, broadly, we want to be invested in share gainers. Within the retail business, you'd want to be involved with companies that have price and pricing power. You want to be with companies that actually are providing a convenience to the customers, companies that are providing a great service to their customers, and companies that are providing a much broader assortment to the customers. And if you look at retailing in particular right now, you can see that Amazon, Target, Walmart, TJ Maxx, and companies like that that are winning on price, convenience, service, and assortment are competing well and gaining shares within the consumer discretionary space. And technology, similarly, it's companies that are reinvesting and growing fast within those broad segments of 5G, gaming, cloud computing, cybersecurity. And as we look at those businesses, we're trying to find those companies that have high returns on capital with stable to widening moats around their business models. One way you can do that within the technology space is just follow the growth in top lines for these companies. You can follow their reinvestment rates. You can follow how much money they're spending on R&D and whether they're getting a return on that R&D investment. So as we think about technology investments, those are some of the sectors and areas and things that we're looking at to help us determine which companies we want to invest in across the technology sector. Lastly, you're probably looking for companies that actually have pricing models and pricing power. And clearly across consumer discretionary, Amazon has that. And if you look at in the technology space, you can see companies like Google and Facebook across their advertising models that have pricing power within their businesses, which is very difficult right now in a market where the economy is quite slow, the global economy is quite slow. So it's another reason we have our investments in Facebook and Google and others like that, because they have pricing power across their business models. The other thing you might want to look at as far as these things are concerned is the demographics around the business models here, and then consumer discretionary. You have a millennial generation that has grown up with technology, social media, those two main areas. And so if you can follow the pathway of the users and where they are now and where they might be going, it can help you as an analyst invest appropriately across the consumer space and the technology space. So those are another area that we would focus on as far as technology and consumer discretionary in terms of looking at big tailwinds like demographics. As far as our team is concerned, we have a number of meetings and conference calls over the course of the week. We have a Tuesday call. We have a Wednesday morning research call. We have a Friday research call, and we spend time basically across those calls looking at not only our sector positioning in terms of what our weights are in these various sectors as far as our portfolios, but we also spend time looking at individual names within those sectors to determine, do we want to add to those positions? Do we want to decrease those positions in the names we own? Or are there other names that we have been looking at for a period of time that we think are appropriate for our clients across the various attributions that we run, whether it's across growth, growth in income, and income? I hope this helps in terms of helping you understand how we think about analysis, how we think about building portfolios, how we think about the research process within Stonebridge Capital. And I thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you all for listening. As always, we do appreciate your calls, your comments, your questions. So if you do have any questions or would like to learn more, please feel free to give us a call or contact us at 651-251-1000. Have a great day.